Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Not going to read different parts of this, but ask you to follow along as we do these parables. There are four points to be made. First point, the first two parables are about what something is worth and what is it worth to you to have a certain thing. Now that can apply to all sorts of things in life. For me, last week, even as late as yesterday, it applied to being on a bicycle in Iowa and completing the journey from one end of the state to the other so that at the end I could dip my tire in the Mississippi River and say I'd done it and get home. And what was it worth? Was it worth sleeping in a tent? Was it worth getting up at 4:30 in the morning to get ahead of some of the lines to different things? Was it worth the heat of the sun? Was it worth a little bit of sunburn, mosquito bites? Is it worth a little limp that's going to go on for a few days? Was it worth on Friday, got up and it was raining and had to pack the tent and everything during the rain and head out on the road and be just absolutely soggy for hours. And then came the driving winds and the rain going sideways. The sleet was a nice touch. And sheltering someplace for an hour and then riding into headwinds. Was it worth it? Was it worth it on Saturday, 55 miles in, and the Achilles starts tightening up and then come the monster hills? Is it worth it? And I would say, yes, I'm looking forward to next year. Okay? But to broaden this out now, there are things in life that you prize and that you count as worth it. Things that you treasure and prize, and you will pursue those things. They might be getting a college degree or nice car, having a family. They might be, oh, that young man or that young woman that you're interested in, and what will you do pursuing that person? Here's a phrase I learned a few years back that will come back again and again during this. A young man pursues a young woman until she catches him. So, then we go to the parables. And the first two parables are about prized things. Parable of the treasure in the field, parable of the pearl of great price. And there's discussion back and forth in the commentaries. Do they refer to Jesus counting us as the treasure? Do they refer to us counting the kingdom of God as the treasure? What is all of this? I'm in kind of a minority where I say one goes one direction, the other goes the other direction, and there's a reason for that. Because if you look at them carefully, the first one, guy finds a treasure in a field. Well, was he looking for the treasure? No. Did he know it had to be there? No. Comes across it kind of by accident. In joy, he goes and sells all that he has, buys the field, and then, ooh, look, a treasure. And now he is rich beyond his wildest dreams. So it is with the kingdom of God. Were you looking for the kingdom of God and knowing exactly what you were looking for when you ran across this thing called Christianity? Or did it come to you kind of as a surprise? Well, for those who were baptized as babies, it came to you as a surprise. Guess what? You're named by God and you belong to Him.
period.
For those who stumble upon it, and there are many who stumble upon Christianity and suddenly realize what this thing the Bible has been talking about, who this is, this Jesus, and why he is so important, why he is the greatest treasure ever. For joy, everything else can be gone, and if you have this kingdom, if you have this kingdom, are you ready? If you have this kingdom, what do you have?
Everything.
Exactly. You have riches beyond any wild dream that you could have. You have the kingdom of God. You have eternal life. You have God's love and God's favor. You're counted as a child of God. Did you deserve it? Were you searching for it? Did you know what you were looking for? No, no, and no. Why? Because we were sinners who had wandered from God, who were born in sin. And coming across that kingdom of God, surprise, this is a treasure. It is a treasure beyond any other treasure that you could ever have. So, people having found or stumbled across or come upon by surprise this kingdom of God, go, and one of the first impulses is to go to others and say, I found it. And there were bumper stickers to that effect years ago, probably still are. I found it. In fact, early on in the Gospel of John, one of the disciples, having encountered Jesus, goes to his brother and says, we have found the Christ. Oh, really? Come and see. Okay. Now, later on, Jesus will look at his disciples and say, you did not choose me. I chose you. And there's the mystery. It's kind of the transition. Kind of the transition hinted at by this saying, a young man pursues a young woman until she catches him. We thought we were finding God. What actually was happening was that he was finding us and bringing us into his kingdom, which gets us into the second parable. So the first one, the man finds a treasure, surprise. And even if he sells everything he's got to buy that field, he will end up richer than he was to begin with, rich beyond his wildest dreams. Second parable. Merchant in search of fine pearls finds one. He's going to have to pay fair market value for that pearl of great price. He's not going to end up rich beyond his wildest dreams. He will simply trade everything else he has for that one prized thing. That, I suggest to you, is a picture of Jesus. Picture of Jesus searching for us and counting us as worth like a pearl of great price. What does he do to find us and to win us? Steps down from his throne in heaven, is born in a stable, laid in a manger, surrounded by smelly animals. At one point he's out in the wilderness, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and tempted. Is it worth it? Will he look at your soul individually and say, worth it? Goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, kneels in prayer, is arrested, beaten, mocked, spit on, nails through the hands and the feet, bleeding and dying, calling out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is it worth it? Is your soul worth it? The strange thing is that Jesus says, yes, absolutely worth it. You are worth all of that to Him. And you are His treasure. That's the amazing thing about this, because it is now a story of great and incredible love, great and incredible sacrifice, great and incredible prizing of you as His own. And then we go on to the third of the parables. This one becomes tough. It has to do with the sorting out. There's sorting out that has to happen in life, isn't there? You know, after moving to Morris a little over a year ago, we're still sorting out. And some things have to go, and some things are kept. Sorting out. It happens in life. You go through all kinds of things. You have to sort out what is truly most important. And so you sort out. There is sorting out that happens in the life of a congregation. Because while there are times when it's easy and joyful to be a Christian, there are those other times. And there becomes a sorting out. A sorting out when people will look at the things that are happening around them and say, I don't know if it's worth it to continue on being a part of this Christian congregation. It makes certain parts of life unpleasant. Or you could look overseas. Found out on my way back from Iowa just yesterday what has happened in northern Iraq with the Christians in Mosul. And this ISIS army giving them the choice. You can convert to Islam or pay a big fine and leave or die. And the Christians giving up everything they had, and the reports are they even took our cell phones, left to go into exile. Why? There's a sorting out. There's a sorting out of what is most important, and there is a sorting out going on in the world. And that sorting out heads toward the end of times, when there is a sorting out that happens, that final sorting. But you ask the question, what were the Christians in Mosul willing to give up? Everything. Everything. That's a sorting out of what is most important in life. But then you turn it around again, turn it backwards, and say, and their Lord Jesus, what was He willing to give up in order to have them in His kingdom and living forever? What was He willing to give up and sacrifice in order to have you in His kingdom and living forever? And there you see once again, it always comes into that sharp focus, the love of God in Jesus Christ. The most amazing thing that has ever happened in the world, the one thing that marks all of human history and will mark all of eternity for us, is that love of Jesus Christ. In His name, amen.